The beginning, even 7 days out, my husband still made me crazy. We had been given a pile of sheepskins upon our expulsion. That was all. That and the promise of eternal suffering. My husband seemed unable to get over this. 7 days out, and by mid-morning, he still lay sprawled across the fleecy blankets lining our lean-to. I had built the lean-to. I had set the pine boughs against a low branch to suggest some semblance of separation between the wilderness and us. A weak defense against new dangers. Yes, I can remember when there was only one danger, but a defense nonetheless. By noon, though, the pine boughs could not keep out the sun. Light jabbed between branches, waking my husband. He groaned and stretched his legs. His thigh muscles quivered. "Put something on," I hissed, adjusting my own leafy apron. He tugged a sheepskin across his lap and looked away, still unwilling to speak to me. Yes, I remember disregarding that first danger. Even so, I told him I'd found a place to cultivate some food. I told him that without his labor, we would never survive. I told him that he needed to get up. He still said nothing. I decided to be good then, to feel shame and be bent by it. My daydreaming made this difficult. I could not gather reeds or collect firewood or mend the lean-to without drifting into other places. To that lush ambrosial garden, the once warm cavern of my husband's embrace. All morning I swatted flies and images. To concentrate, I clutched tight to my guilt. I gave myself more chores. And yet, even as I wove reeds in the lacy shade of apple trees, they are everywhere, those trees, growing wild and wormy like unfunny jokes. I could not resist looking across the field to where my husband stood, head bowed, lost in his thoughts. "Gardens don't grow on their own," I called, a reminder, I suppose, that neither of us needed. My husband stabbed a stick at the soil, ignoring me. I gave up on weaving reeds and went back to fetching firewood. All day, my husband tilled the soil sulkily. By late afternoon, his skin had turned red and raw from the sun. His flesh was glossed with sweat. "At your rate," I said, "maybe we'll have something to eat in 3 years." "Raw!" he yelled, throwing the stick down and striding into the forest. Even as he disappeared, even as my own fingers bled from dryness and blisters, I dreamed. I thought about the intersections of our bodies, of shadows blooming in the sticky convergence of hip to hip. My husband returned at nightfall, bruised, bee-stung, covered in mud, empty-handed. I wanted to laugh at the mess. The way we used to giggle at everything, there was a time when a bee sting would have been hilarious, even beautiful. My husband slunk into the lean-to and curled up among sheepskins, silent. There were only apples to eat. We had been eating them raw for 7 days. This must have been part of our punishment. To find ourselves nauseous from the sweet flesh, to start hating the snap of teeth through skin, the bite once wrongly desired. But there was nothing else to eat, so that night I placed some of the fruit on a flat rock near the fire. "We should name this," I said, presenting the warm mush to my husband. Words in those days could still be plucked out of the air. "How about," I paused, awaiting the mouth tingle of a new sound, "how about pie?" He smiled, an expression I had not seen in days, and chewed slowly. This was the first thing we had named since our expulsion. I watched my husband, his face illuminated by our bonfire, his eyes tracing the arc of my collarbone, the curve of my breasts, the nakedness he'd only recently learned to see. I will be good. I will feel shame and be bent by it. That night, we lay together on the pile of sheepskins, alone in a forest of shrieks and howls. I listened to the creatures outside, clawed and toothed, among which I'd once roamed freely. There were so many dangers now, so many clefts and cracks in the walls of our lean-to, and so little we could do. That night, our limbs entwined, my husband breathed softly, deeply. And me, I dreamt of fields of grain and wicker baskets and paradise.